We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, guys? Welcome into another edition of Bogey Free. I'm your host, Matt Jones. And I'm flying solo tonight, waiting on this 12-man snake to fill up. We're at 7 out of 12, so, and I just tweeted it out, so we should be good to go here shortly, hopefully. if not, I'll just be rambling for a little bit. If you haven't been following along, I just released a series over at RotoViz about volatility in PGA DFS, and I figure this would be as good a time as any to chat about it. So just general trends. I don't think that a lot of people have looked at range of outcomes in the way that and I think that there were a couple of things that are pretty obvious, and then a few things that maybe weren't so obvious. So hopefully you've read it. If not, if you're listening to this and you want to go over to RotoViz and pause it and read through before I talk about it, that's wonderful. If not, I can give you sort of the rundown here. So basically, I broke out volatility across two different time frames. The first time frame is recent, the last 24 rounds, and the second time frame is long term, which is the last 150 rounds. Now, typically, last 24 rounds will, for most golfers at most points in the year, be about the last 2 months, give or take. And last 150 rounds will typically, depending on who it is, will typically cover a full year, and potentially, up some of the top tier elite guys will make, say, 20, 21 starts in a given season. So obviously, if they were to make all the cuts, you could do that math there. And so you're looking at like a year and a half, give or take. For the lower tier guys, they're typically making more starts and playing more often. So they, that might be a year for them. For Sungjae, he plays about 150 rounds, every month and a half. So it varies depending on where guys are in their careers. You know, the Dustin Johnsons and Justin Thomases of the world can pick their schedule and they can get in any field, any tournament around the world that they want. Whereas, some of these lower tier guys don't necessarily have that option. I'm just trying to think of a couple other examples, like a Chez Reavy, Will Gordon. Like, I'm just scrolling through the ADP right now for this draft. All those types of guys just kind of have to take what's given to them as far as when they're eligible to be in a field. So, it just really depends on who the guy is. But for the most part, we're talking about those time frames, give or take. Now, I started off in part one just looking through just sort of a macro perspective across the entire population of golfers. How does it break down with the super volatile guys more recently, and then you know, more volatile than average, then less volatile than average, and then the least volatile. And I think the guys who are the most volatile, especially recently, are going to be the ones who miss cuts at a higher rate, but also finish higher at a higher rate. They have better top 10 rates, top 5 rates, win rates than their, you know, quote unquote, less volatile peers. What I did after that was I broke down into the power ranking score that I give everybody throughout the field each week. That and so part two of that series was looking at golfers that were at 70 in the power ranking score and below. And basically what you're looking at there is not a huge difference necessarily between you know, guys who are making a cut. Like you're not between 0 and 50, but once you get over that, you're not looking at gigantic edges as far as let's say top 20 rate. Top 20 rates are basically the same, but for golfers between 50 and 60 in power ranking score, the made cut rate for the less volatile guys is slightly above 50%, and for the more volatile guys it's only 44%. But the flip to that is that these more volatile golfers are typically finding their way into the top 10 more often. So you have to weigh those, obviously, depending on format, depending on how, I guess, how many people are in the field, and things like that. So it really depends on contest selection. For most people, in my opinion, I think you are more often just targeting the volatile guys. I think that there's this belief among anybody who plays PGA DFS that they have like this innate ability to find like the cut makers, and like we just don't see that, right? Like 6 of 6 lineups sometimes are in, like, most of the time are in the single digits, it seems lately. And you know, in some contests it could get down to like 5-6% of lineups. If 5 or 6% of the lineups are going to be 6 of 6, you're going to want upside if you happen to have one of those 6 of 6s. I don't believe that I'm in tune enough to say for certain that in these, like, with these cheaper golfers that able to identify that, you know, the X guy or Y guy is going to be more likely to make the cut than another. So all of this also has to get put together with the game theory series that I did, which we're targeting golfers that are typically going to be more, you know, have a higher power ranking score than this. So if we jump up to the next level at 60 to 70, we see a similar thing, and there's not a huge jump in the less volatile made cut rate, but there is a big jump in the more volatile made cut rate, which makes sense because these golfers, you're going from just barely average in the field to you know, like top you know, a top 30 percentile golfer in the field is going to be more likely than not to make the cut. And when we expand, the top 20 rates are higher with the more volatile guys long term, and the top 5 rates are more are higher with the more volatile guys over the last 24 rounds. So those types of things are going to give your lineups upside that you might not necessarily have if you're just, you know, going for the quote unquote cut makers. I don't believe that. I mean, I guess that this is probably a conversation for another day, but I don't believe that there's truly a good way to build a cash specific lineup in 99% of 99% of situations. I don't believe it. I think that you should be. I think people are giving up a lot of upside, a lot of win equity, a lot of top five equity. What there is, you know, quote unquote safe decisions. So yeah, that's just sort of my mini rant there. As far as once you get above 70, between 70 and 90, basically everything that I just said still holds true. Once you get above 90, there's essentially no major differences. I think the one thing that you should really focus on, if you're talking about a golfer that's in the 90 and up range, you should really just be focusing on the ownership game. I think I've done enough work, and other people have done enough work that you really shouldn't be rostering the expensive chalk as often as people do. I think that in the market, the ownership at the very top would actually be a lot flatter than it is. Most weeks it's reasonably flat, but when we look back, there's usually one or two guys who soak up a majority of the ownership in the, say, 10K and up range. And I think that's a mistake. I think that unless there's some extenuating circumstance, you should always be rostering the lower owned really good golfers. Because their range of outcomes just isn't that dissimilar, to justify not taking the leverage and going after, you know, eating the chalk. And people have been joking, right? Like last week it was Kyle Stanley. The week before it was Vincent Whaley. People are like tilting off the face of the universe because I don't know if like how long people have been playing, but like the cheap chalk hits a lot. And that's kind of like, we're pretty good as a community at identifying this guy is underpriced. He shouldn't be where he is based on his recent form, and the price just hasn't adjusted up enough. We're really pretty good at identifying those opportunities. So it shouldn't really come as too much of a shock. I wouldn't think it shouldn't come as too much of a shock that a lot of these guys end up hitting. If a guy that's below 7,500 is projected for over 10% ownership, like you take that and you eat that chalk and you differentiate at the top, where now you're having the advantage of I can beat by the cheap chalk, because the guys who are rostering that cheap chalk are also going to be able to access the stud range. And you're getting leverage in the stud range because you're going with the lower owned options. It just makes sense. Like there's not a good reason to do the opposite. Like, why do you believe that you're the one that can figure out the $6,400 golfer or the $6,900 golfer that is more likely to make the cut than the guy who everybody thinks is going to make the cut and is underpriced? I don't know why. Like, I'm much more confident that I will play Rory McIlroy at single digit ownership when Dustin Johnson is 22% owned, I'm much more confident that I have a better chance at Rory doing well, or, you know, insert whoever here, like Justin Thomas. At some point, he's going to start being lower owned. I don't know why people believe that they can magically figure out these golfers that are all over the place every week. They can nail that down, but they eat the chalk at the top. Like, it's totally backwards to me. So if it continues, then it's just an edge that we have. If it doesn't continue and ownership flattens out at the top, then you probably do have to take some more chances down at the bottom. But for the most part, you're going to put yourself in a situation where you have a lot less outs with a guy that's 6,800 than you would with a guy who is, you know, 10,400 or whatever. All right, so that was my 15th on volatility. Hopefully you got something out of it. This draft finally filled, so we should be good to go here. Although this is like super glitchy for some reason. I don't know why it looks like that. All right, well, that's gonna bug the shit out of me this whole time, but that's fine. So let's get this rolling here. I pulled pick 12, of course. So we got a little bit here, and you know, this week I think that's actually a pretty significant disadvantage. Most weeks I really don't. But the 12th pick in a draft like this is, or in a field like this rather, is not ideal. All right, so let's see what happens here. We see Brooks come off the board first. Not terribly surprising. And obviously this is a course this week, as Dustin Johnson goes, this is a course this week that we haven't seen before. And again, everybody's got their Inspector Gadget hats on, trying to investigate and figure out how the courses play. Typically in a week like this, I am more likely to just really rely on my rankings and not really worry too much about course fit. And usually that holds pretty well. A lot of the time, people fall in love with a particular, and when all is said and done, it doesn't play that way, or it doesn't play strictly enough in a certain style that it ends up being that it ends up mattering. That you really after the bombers, you really went after the accurate guys off the tee or whatever it is. So, let's see. All right. So Brooks, DJ, Fleetwood, Hatton, English, Fitzpatrick have all gone. Let's see who is even available. Sungjae went. This might be a Varner Snedeker turn or something here. It's pretty disgusting. Because Iyer goes. I'm not in love with this week in general. I think that there's going to be there's going to be a lot of uncertainty, and I'll play probably like 30 or 40% of my usual volume, just because I don't feel confident in anything really this week. All right, Poulter went, Glover went. You know it's a good week when Glover goes 11th. All right, we could roll with some Higo there, and then some HV3 for those really, typically sort of just stick along with the PGA and don't dabble too much into Euro. We saw Higo. You can look at his game log here. Not play particularly well at the PGA Championship, but he came in with really good form. Four top tens in a row with two victories there. So definitely a guy to look out for. I think that he'll be over here a little bit more now that he has some status, and it'll be interesting to see what ends up happening with all of these girl guys that come over. I think there's, you know, Higo's not really a secret, but there's usually some opportunities to really take advantage of some lower owned Euro guys that the general PGA DFS community doesn't really pay too much attention to. So after my picks, Kisner, Snedeker, RCB, and Doc Redman have gone. Yeah, I mean, by the end of this, it's just going to be just truly, truly disgusting. There's some interesting names in this field this week for sure. Let's see. Oh, Beer Garden has an appearance there as well. That's nice. All right. So Whaley just went. Stallings went. Keith Mitchell went before that. Still got a little bit until Mike Jagus goes. Brian Gay. You know it's a good week when Brian Gay goes in the second round. Russell Knox and Bo. What? It's fine. My wife and my daughter just made a brief appearance. It's fine. All right. Let's see what else we got here. Neesmith goes. These weights in between are just awful. There's just going to be nobody left by the time I pick. Maybe Poston. John Pack. Interesting. Yeah, this field is awful. I don't mean to keep harping on it, but it's pretty rough. Pat Perez goes right after. Let's see. Seamus Power, Party Marty. All right, we're cooking now. Let's see. I'm about five picks away. At the top here, we have CT Pan. We have Ben Martin, EBR, Poston, Wierenski. Ben Martin goes. Yeah, I mean, I think ideally it would be Werenski and Poston here, but we will see. You never know. Yeah, CT Pan goes. You never know who's going to who's in here, because I tweeted it out and gonna snipe me here, but let's see. Yeah, Werenski goes, so there goes that idea. And JT goes. Cool. All right. Probably go Vaughn Taylor here. No matter what, I feel like Vaughn Taylor always shows up somewhere in my model. This week he has a score of 70. A power ranking score of 73, that is. So I'm okay with that. And I'm actually going to go with Burgoon here as well. He has a 76 in the power ranking score. So all things considered, even though that was, you know, pick whatever it was, 36 and 37. I think I got some decent value there. So we'll see. Sabatini goes. EVR went right before that. Kadira. Oh. Somebody just auto-picked Danny Willett, who withdrew. We talked about this a few weeks ago when we were doing the snake draft, and I think that just getting volume in these, because that kind of stuff does happen. Just getting volume is automatically one team that cannot possibly have a 6 of 6. So I don't think that it's a huge edge or anything, but I do think that there's something there, right? And Lashley's up here in the field, and he's withdrawn as well. So there's a chance that the guy that's auto picking will go through and take him by accident as well. Scrolling down through a little bit, we'll probably get to Sung Kang, who also withdrew. So there's a chance here that, you know, there's three guys drafted out of the, 12, you know, out of the 72 golfers that are chosen, that really aren't going to tee it up. So that would be kind of nice, in general. Viegas goes. This is also where the draft kind of gets interesting. They have these like arbitrary rankings, but they also go by ADP. So because there's not really a ton of drafts even filling at this point, the ADP is all screwy, and it just defaults to the rankings. So there's some guys that are like just clearly out of order. Hubbard goes. The auto draft guy came back. Oh, well, we tried. Lipsky goes. Rogers goes. I actually have Shank. Piercy goes. I actually have Shank pretty high this week in the power ranking score, so I wouldn't really mind if he somehow made it back to me, but I'm not not particularly optimistic about this. Stewart goes, Benny On goes. Oh, Hatch must be in this. Lebioda goes. All right, so we can get our boy Shank there. And then I'm gonna let the clock run down a little bit. Pull a Reeves here. Let it go for a sec. All right, so Shank is the pick there in the fifth round, and then we will round it out with good old Tom Lewis. All right, so the final team there is, oh my God, this is brutal. This is like super glitchy for some reason. I'll pull that off and I'll reload it and see what happens. But yeah, so I'm reasonably happy with the team that we just put together here. It would be even cooler if I could actually beat it back, but that DraftKings is not to allow that. Been set up in my app real quick. Bear with me one moment, please. So ended up Higo, Varner, Vaughn Taylor, Bergoon, Shank, and Lewis. If that's not a microcosm of what this week is, I don't know what is. So on that note, I am going to leave you guys here. Have a good week. Make sure you're following along with everything on Twitter at MattJonesTFR, and make sure that you are set up over at FTN for my showdown content and more to come over there. So good luck this week, and we'll talk soon. That's it.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.